Hello, hello, hello. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And it is Tuesday and I'm excited. I'm hot. I am excited to be here, but I've been having a crusty last 2 days. But anyway, I'm still excited to be here. It's nice to have consistency where you know where you're going, what you're doing. And it doesn't matter if things creep in that don't work for you, you know, you have your consistency. So it's like, whoopsie. It's like, I have the things that I do. I have my upset, but the upset doesn't have to take over all of the things that I do, right? And so I'm really excited to be here today because I have my favorite person, one of my favorite people, so that the others don't get jealous. Yeah, one of my favorite people, Ella Butler. I love Ella. Ella is a really good friend of mine. And we met like, what, 2 years ago?
2 years, yeah.
God, can you believe it?
No, I can't.
Oh, so fast. Ella is a real estate broker at Compass. Yep. So welcome, Ella. Welcome to the show. Welcome for coming on. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I always love having you here because we always, you know, it's International Women's Day. And what I wrote was I have Ella coming in tonight and she is a smart woman who is the kind of woman that when you hear something, see something that can literally make a difference in your life, you jump to it. You get on it. You're not one of these people that sit there and procrastinate and talk about it. I'll do it later. I'll do it next week. No, you're like, I like this. How can I get it done? Let me know how I can get it done. And you get it done. And I really respect you for that.
This is very true.
And so you, for me, are the epitome of International Women's Day. Because you know it's on Friday, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So International Women's. So you're the woman that I'm acknowledging and celebrating today for International Women's Day.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. So, Ella, tell the people a little bit about who you are.
Okay, well, I grew up in Miami, Florida, in Coral Gables. I went to school there. I went to boarding school in Connecticut
for 2 years. You went to boarding school?
I did.
How was that?
It was cool. That's where all the bad things happen, though.
Really?
Yeah. Like, my dad was like, you know, go there for discipline and structure. No, that's where everybody's like wiling out. So he didn't know that. But then I came home. I graduated from high school in Florida, and then I moved to New York. I went to NYU. Mm-hmm. And
she's smart.
You know,
she's got lots of money.
I don't think. Well, I was smarter back then. I think I've lost a couple of brain cells, but I majored in political science and went on to do a graduate degree in political science, comparative politics. I thought I was going to go into the Foreign Service. And then I realized when you do that, you have to travel and, you know, not maybe have a home base. And I thought that wasn't the life for me. And so I found...
Oh, so you're like not a stay-at-home kind of person, but you need to have a place to live. You need to have a place to call home.
Yes, definitely. And I think that stems from having moved so much as a kid because my dad moved around because of his job. And so, yes, I need to have a steady home base. So.
Right. Well, I didn't move a lot. I grew up in the house that my father bought. My father always says that when he first came to England, because my father's originally from Jamaica, he came to England in the 50s. And he had a room, right? I guess he rented a room like everybody. It was hard back then because nobody wanted to rent to black people, right? So they had rooms and stuff. And so apparently I think I was born in a room after my mother came a couple of years after. And then my parents bought their house. And I think how they bought their house was like they had this thing. I was talking to my friend Chris a couple of days ago. They bought their house on this thing called Susu. Right, which is like you know what susu is, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Right, so it's like a group of people, like say 10 people. They all put in $100 a week, and so the first 10th week you get $1,000.
Right,
the second week the person gets $1,000, but it's based upon trust, right? So I think my father did this so that he could get his house, and then someone will get their house, and so that the house that I grew up in was the house that he bought that we lived in for. I lived there for what? 19 years.
Okay.
So I never really moved. And then I came to New York and I've moved how many times in New York? 1, 2, 3, 4 times. And I've been in New York 30 years. I hate moving.
Yeah, that's good. I feel like most New Yorkers move every like 3 years. you know, before they maybe buy something or whatever.
The first move was I was married and we lived with my mother-in-law. God rest her cotton socks. And then we moved into our one bedroom apartment, actually five times. And then we moved downstairs to a two bedroom apartment. Then we bought a place in 3 years and moved to Brooklyn. I bought a place saving $25 a month.
Oh, that's amazing. Those are the kind of stories that New Yorkers, we can't hear it because it's like doesn't happen.
$25. I mean, when I think about when I first came, I was making $175 a week. Uh-huh. And I used to take $25, I called it lipstick money, and I would put it away. Mm-hmm. And every week I would go look at apartments and pretend I had an alter ego, uh-huh. which would do the looking. Noreen wouldn't do the looking.
Did the ego have a name?
No, it didn't have a name, okay. actually, right? But she would look because she was the one she had lots and lots of money, but Noreen didn't. And so I would go look at the apartments and look at the houses and stuff. And I found one. And we moved in and it was like, I called them every week mm-hmm. and hounded them. Is it still available? Because I knew my top was at the time $95,000, right? And I just pulled that out my ass basically. Mm-hmm. And is it still available? And he'd be like, no, they wanted 120. I was like, give them 120. And I'd call every week and I'd go visit the apartment and meditate and the whole nine yards. The super would let me in. And they finally, after going back, right, will you take 75? Will you take 80? Will you take 85? No, Noreen, this is what we want. We'll take 95. And I said, I'll call you back. Hung up and I was like, did my little hair. Yeah, I can do 95. And they paid my closing costs and they paid my maintenance for a year.
A master negotiator, even back then.
No, to me, it wasn't called negotiating. It was just like, I just made up that I needed to get this apartment. I wanted it. I didn't call it negotiating.
But you were, you know.
I was playing.
You were in it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was, you know, for me, it was, I was playing. I wasn't attached to it. But I wanted the apartment and I figured, what the hell? What's the worst that could happen? They say no. Right. And then I'll call them again shamelessly the following week. But no real estate broker wants to hear that. And then I became a real estate broker years later. But in any case, moving. Yeah, that's not one of the. So you like to stay.
When
was the last time you moved?
2 years. No, maybe 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was torture. Yeah, I hate moving psychologically. Like I get thrown off. I get a little bit depressed every time I move. So yeah, I like to have my stuff and my systems.
Oh, okay. Are you one of these people that like, do you, when I first move, I left stuff behind?
No, I used to be a person that I just carried everything from house to house. And then recently I looked around and I was like, I'm so bogged down in stuff. Uh-huh. And I stopped working for 3 weeks and literally just sorted my life out.
Did you gave do Marie Kondo?
I mean, yeah, probably a little bit of that, but literally truckloads of stuff went to the dump or got donated, and it felt so good.
How much stuff did you have? You said it went to the dump.
Like, I had, you know those vans that they used to have in the 70s with, like, desert scenes painted on the side of it? Like, you know, like vans, whatever.
Okay.
I gave away probably two vans of clothes. Like, yeah, I had clothes from, like, you know, 15 years ago, 17 years ago. I would keep every t-shirt.
Were you wearing them?
No.
You just hoarded them?
Yeah, I just hoarded them.
So what was it like when you actually sort of gave it away?
I felt lighter, freer. It just felt good. I felt like there was order. Like, it ordered my mind. So I went around telling, you know, like you're saying, when something works, I want to, like, evangelize. Right. And I went around going, everybody's got to do this. It's amazing. Right. So, yeah, it felt really good.
So now how do you do for clothes?
So I do rent the runway, which I think is great because you don't have to really do your laundry that much. They do the laundry. That's number one. And it just makes sense because I love clothing, but I don't like shopping. Okay. You know, but I like to look nice. So it's a little mix. Like, maybe I'll have like two Rent the Runway things a week mixed in with my own stuff. Right. And yeah.
So you didn't throw away all your stuff?
No. I still have a lot of clothes. Okay. So yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So tell me, it's International Women's Day. How do you want to, what does that mean to you? Like, International Women's Day is a big deal, right?
Yes.
You know, it's been going on for like a really long time.
How long?
Before the 50s, I can't tell you exactly, but it's been going on for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's actually in lots of different countries. It's not just here. Mm-hmm. It's just been going for a really long time. Yeah, I looked it up. That. I just can't remember. The brain can't hold all this information. I could Google right now, but, it's been going on for quite some time. So like in terms of Women's International, International Women's Day, who would you like to celebrate?
Okay.
Yeah, this who would you like to acknowledge?
Doesn't have to be alive, right?
They don't have to be alive. No.
So I would like to acknowledge my mother.
Oh, I was going to do that with my mommy too.
Yeah, my mom, definitely. You know, she passed away a long time ago, but you know, it's funny. I didn't grow up with my mom. I grew up with my dad.
Right.
And my parents were separated, you know, when I was two or three. So right. I would come up to New York to visit her in the summer. So, I mean, I knew my mom, but I wasn't like super close to her.
That's very different though, back, you know, back then where you were growing up with your father.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think I really understood her mm-hmm. in life. I understand her a lot more now that she's gone. And she was a very, very strong person. Mm-hmm. She was a big reason that my dad was successful. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of women back then, she sort of, you know, sacrificed her own hopes and dreams and life for my dad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I grew to appreciate that and understand, you know, who she was. Right. I actually saw a movie recently it's called The Wife with Glenn Close. Okay. And it reminded me of, like a lot of women's stories, but definitely my mother.
Right.
I won't give it away, but basically the wife is the husband is an author, mm-hmm. but she is the true voice.
Right.
But no one knows that. So I'll leave it there.
You know what's so funny? Because I watched Jackson Pollock yesterday, you know, Jackson Pollock, the artist, mm-hmm. and his wife, LH, I think. I can't remember her fault. Lauren, something kind of. Anyway.
Marsha Gay Harden.
I don't know the actress's name.
Okay.
Well, anyway, she was really great. What she says to him is like, yes, I would like to get married. I'm committed to this relationship. I would like to get married. So I want you to think about it. Right. And he was like, kind of sort of like dumbfounded and packing his suitcase and putting all this shit in it. And she's like, because they're going off to Long Island and she's repacking everything that he puts in it because he's just a mess. And so finally they're walking along the beach and he said, yes, we should have a church wedding. And she says, no family. And he says, great. And we should have so-and-so be a witness. No, we'll have somebody else be the witness. And then they said, oh, which church? Because neither of them go to church.
Right.
But so they get married and he says, I'd love to have a baby. And she's like, hell no, we're not having a baby. You're enough. And my job is to help you have your career, have you be one of the greatest painters of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, speaking to that, your mother sounds like that kind of a woman.
Yeah.
But she had you instead. Right. But she was committed to him, you know, having a really good career.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that, like, so yes, I would like to acknowledge my mother as well. I don't know if she spent the money my father made. Right. She had a good time. We'll be right. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
We'll be right back.
And so we're back. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And we're back. And I'm with Ella Butler, who is from Compass. Ella is everything and everyone.
It's okay.
So, yeah, we were talking about, I was acknowledging my mother and she was acknowledging her mother for International Women's Day. And she was saying that her mother supported her father so he could be the man that he turned out to be, right?
Right, yes.
And so we were saying that, like, a lot of women, I was talking about Jackson Pollock, whose wife also did the same thing. Plus, you know, they say behind every great man, there's a great woman, right? Mm-hmm. But I think things are changing now. Behind every great woman, there's going to be a great man.
A great man, exactly.
Because we are the true greatness, you know? And I think that I love being a woman. Do you love being a woman? I mean, not that I've never known what it's like to be a man, but do you love being a woman?
Yeah, I do. Like, if I had to choose, if God, you know, said, you're going to come back, what do you choose? I would choose a woman, even though it has its challenges. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do enjoy it.
I would definitely choose. I one of the things I always said that I wouldn't want to be a man, and this is, sounds really weird, because I don't want balls.
Why?
Because I guess balls and a penis jingling between my legs and having to run around with that thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of got a mind of its own. It's up and it's down and it's left and it's right. And I don't know.
You just don't want them.
Just wouldn't.
Just like extra luggage.
Yeah, it's just like extra pieces of things that I don't really want. What do you feel about it? If you're online and you're listening, what would you rather come back as, a man or a woman?
Right.
I just have no desire for, like,
the parts.
I like engaging with the penis.
Right, right.
But I don't want to have
it attached to
you. No, I don't. Right. I don't want to have that. So tell me what else. What else is, who else would you like to acknowledge?
Who else? I would like to acknowledge my sister.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of familial stuff going on. A very strong woman. She has really, really been there for me.
Mm-hmm. Older really or younger?
Older. My sister is like 20 years older than me.
Wow.
So she's kind of like, you know, mom-ish sister.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? My sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I come from a family of very, very strong women.
It sounds like you come from a family with a lot of women.
It is a lot of women, yeah. And
how many men?
I have one brother, and all of my cousins are pretty much female. Like, out of 10 cousins, there's one boy.
In my family, there are a lot of males. I have four brothers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have four brothers.
Okay.
I'm and two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm directly in the middle.
Okay.
So I call myself the bridge.
That explains a lot.
I call myself the bridge. And and then we have a lot of females now, like the children of their children are having
a lot of
female
girls.
Children, females. Yeah. It's complicated because I tried to do my family tree.
Uh-huh. It was crazy. Did you do Ancestry?
Ancestry.com.
Okay.
Yes. And you see the little leaves come in and all this good
stuff.
But because there are so many, like my mother and my father, and then my mother has two children, my father had two children, and then they have children. And it's just a lot. It's a lot of complication.
Right.
And then now a lot of people aren't marrying. So,
right.
And then they have kiddies with people who they're not married. It's so comp. I was like, forget
it. Do you know that a lot of people, well, number one, now a lot of people are finding out their parents are not their parents, right? Because of Ancestry. I mean, I read an article about that.
Right.
That just, you know, dad's not my dad, you know, and
yeah, because
it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, because.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They find out that it was like a thing.
Yeah.
That I met him at a party, we had sex, and they ended up having a baby.
Yeah.
I read an article about
and
that.
And I know two people who have found kids that they didn't know they had.
Yes.
Yeah.
I read a couple of those too.
Yeah.
And you know what's so great also? I do like Ancestry.com, even though I'm kind of like, I found something out just recently.
I
found something out just recently. Yeah, it broke my heart, but it's okay. I'll get over it. So because I knew something was a little bit off anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my Ancestry.com, I think it was 2015. And it says I was 100% African. I was like, yes.
Did it really? I feel like that's rare.
Wait. I said I was like 100% African. But then I was thinking, I was expecting that there'd be some Scottish or some English, something
right.
like that. Anyway.
But from different regions in Africa, a lot of different regions.
Yeah, lots of different regions, okay. Not just one. Lots of different regions. Togo, Ghana, Nigeria, all these different places. And then there was, so I recently did it again. And, you know, as it gets better and better.
As more people do it,
and more genes and more DNA and all. So I am not 100% African. I
what? Tongan?
No. What? I am now, the English and the Scottish and Irish.
They started to peek through.
Yeah, they've kicked in. I was like, what's going on here? This is terrible.
It's not that bad, really.
But anyway, I'm 98% until I check it again a few years from now.
Right, and it'll just whittle down.
Yes.
Gradually whittle down.
But no, because I was always wondering, like, how could I be 100% African with my grandfather being as light as he was. My mother's light, right? And their side of the family is pretty light. My father's side of the family is dark. I was like, this something is a little bit off here. Like, if we were 100% African and my grandfather was that light, I'm thinking that he is going to be not even Spanish, right? But like maybe, and if they come from Africa, they could be Egyptian, like,
or North African
or something like that. No. So anyway, but it is getting better and better. And what's so cool about it too, because you can find the people in your fourth degree. Like,
I know, that's cool. I mean, I found a cousin that I have I had an uncle, my dad's brother, who I didn't think he had any kids.
Right.
And then I found out that he had four, but not with
his. But did he know that he had four?
He did. Uh-huh. Yeah. But it, like, I guess his wife, my aunt, couldn't have children and they just never had kids. But he had four kids apart from her.
Right.
So I was kind of amazed. I think she did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, at least one or two she knew.
Right.
You know what
not
I mean?
Four.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, because they're not here anymore. But yeah, I think she knew at least about some of them.
Right.
Right.
And so you found them on Ancestry.com.
I did. Yeah. She reached out to me. So
isn't that like, I think that's like pretty amazing, because here I am. I'm living in the United States. My ancestry is in the Caribbean. My family lives in London. Mm-hmm. And then there's fourth generations of people that are connected to me through DNA. I'm thinking, like, supposing I was breeding age and I was out there breeding with some man that I didn't know was my cousin.
No,
ended
yes.
up with this big-headed baby.
There was some, like, thing I was reading the other day about they want to make some information public, because with all of the kids that are being born via in vitro or something, right? And then, like, you never know, or because of the sperm donor.
That movie that was on where the man had like 100 and something kids.
Oh, yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. But hadn't he been doing that like secretly? Like, was it, because there's a doctor that was doing that, like impregnating women.
That was impregnating the women with his own sperm, and they all came out with some kind of issue.
Oh, right.
Because he had some kind of issue going on.
That's pretty creepy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, how many people really do? I actually read a story about a black girl that was looking to get black sperm, right? She wanted to have a black baby.
Uh-huh.
And so she went to the in vitro fertilization place to get, like, black sperm. But there aren't any. There aren't any black.
Right.
There weren't too many black men or any black men that were giving up their sperm like that.
It's so stupid. I'm sure she could have found one. That's funny. Well, you know, when I was in college, I remember, like, in the student newspaper at the back of it, they'd always have, they'd be like, you know, are you between the ages of 18 and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Please donate your eggs. We'll pay you $6,000. That's always in college newspapers.
Right, right.
And I remember I used to, like, that was my indicator if I was still young.
Right.
So the other day I had, like, aged out of that ad completely, because I'd be like, yeah, I could still donate my eggs. Someone still wants them. Yeah, no one wants these anymore. So we're good. Yeah. We're done.
Your eggs are fried. You know, you know, it's so funny, because I often look at, like, you know, magazines where it used to be 35 to blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Now I'm in the range of 55 to 65.
So funny. Oh my gosh.
But it, you know, so I'm thinking of, like, wow, I'm actually, like, I'm 56 now. So what's that? 56, 63, 56%, 58%, 960, 61, 62, 63. Yes, I can't do math, people. 7 years from now, I'll be
her
like...
Her fingers are like moving under the table.
I'll be... Yeah, 7 years from now, I'll be like...
I hate hearing it. Don't 63. Talk about it. Don't.
Why?
I can't... I don't want to hear it. It's too traumatizing. I don't think... I like to like forget. Like sometimes I forget my age. It's
no,
great.
No, we do because we don't... Well, we Which don't live inside of that ages.
No, I know, but it like does something to your brain.
What
you
does it do?
I don't know. Like it just like I'm like a person that's so attached to time. Like I have to do this by this age, and you know, like I'm trying to work through it. Uh-huh. So I don't like to actually give, you know, think about my age because right. I'm like, oh, but I haven't done this yet. It has nothing. It has more to do with accomplishment and less to do with vanity.
But don't you think that, you know, given who we are, the level of strength that we have, the level of, like, I'm looking at women that are my age and even older,
right?
And they look phenomenal.
No, yeah, totally. It's like intellectually I know that, but then, you know, I'm still trying to fight against the societal what's the word,
mores, norms,
yeah, learnings that I brought with me. But yeah, but like I said, it's more about accomplishment. I'm like, oh my god, like right now I'm freaking out that it's already March. And I'm like, the year's
I'm
over.
Freaking out about
the year's done.
You know what I'm freaking out about? I'm freaking out about that guy, Luke Perry.
I know.
Luke Perry was what, 52?
52, yeah.
And he kicked the bucket.
That's
and then
so
I'm
horrible.
Thinking of the guy with Prodigy. You know Prodigy, that
yeah,
group?
Yeah.
He was 49. He died.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, he killed himself, so that's different.
Well, he killed himself?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, damn.
And apparently he had said, when I'm done, I'm done. I'll be checking out myself. Out. Yeah.
What do you think about that? What do you think of suicide? I used to think it was the most terriblest, meanest thing that you could.
You're like my
do.
Brother. I remember in my 20s having a whole debate with my brother about it. And he was like, that's horrible for someone to do. They're so selfish. And I was like, but they're depressed. You know, like, I feel bad that someone is in such a state that they would do that. But
now I'm like, okay, if they know that they're done and they're done,
right.
They should go. And I think that I'm also of the mind that we should have euthanasia. If people want to go, they go. Because in some European countries, if you don't want to be here anymore, they'll actually give you counseling and support and help you to end your life.
Yeah.
After if it's deemed that this is what you want to do.
Right.
So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I am speaking to Ms. Ella Butler.
Hey.
And Ella is a real estate broker at
Compass.
And we're here. I'm acknowledging Ella as for International Women's Day because I think, like I said, Ella is smart. When she sees an opportunity, she jumps on it. And she's just, you're just curious and engaged in life.
I am curious. My sister always said I should have, and my mother, that I should have been a journalist. Either a journalist or a therapist.
Well, girl, you do Facebook Live enough.
I do. I like to know about people.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's I love to know about people. I think that's why we vibe.
Yeah.
Because I'm always curious about people. And I have friends like, why do you want to know that? I'm like, I want to know people. Right. Don't you think people want to be known?
Yeah, totally.
I think people want to be known. I think that people want to share who they are with, you know, with each other and with the world. And I think it's like when we're, I think people who say they don't want to do that, they're being inauthentic. I don't think they're being truthful.
That they don't want to share?
That they don't want to share themselves. We all want to share. I think if you don't want to share yourself, there might be something going on.
Maybe.
You know,
like,
because
here's
the thing, right? As we get older, right? Even though you don't want to talk about this, I think that it's important that we have friends, that we're constantly making friends and engaging with people and bringing new, fresh energy into our lives. Because I think that helps us to grow, continue to grow.
Absolutely.
Whereas, you know, you notice like older people, you walk down the street and you see older people who have crotchety faces, like
okay,
the face of a demon, right? Who they're not engaged.
Right. I my brother once said that to me, and I remember it, like, you have to stay curious. That's what youth is, a curiosity.
Yeah,
you know, you're
so.
Always, yeah.
Being engaged, being, and like, I call it nosy. I love to be nosy.
Yeah.
Right? But it is curiosity. I love people. I love being engaged. I want to know what people are up to. You know, because people have the answers to many of the things that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think that being engaged, and that's what I love about you, because you are curious and you are gay. So what's your latest curiosity?
My latest curiosity.
Connected at 5:30 in the morning.
Okay. So what can I tell people this
story?
Sure. Okay.
Absolutely.
So... the other day I went to an event that Noreen was hosting, and this woman walks in and she's like, Noreen. And she runs up to Noreen and I said, oh, who's this Noreen? Or, and then you introduced her. Her name was
Wendy.
And she's like, this is Wendy. This is my accountability partner. We have a call every morning at 5:30 for the last 12 years. And this is only the second time I've met her.
Right.
I was blown away. I was like, oh, wait a second. Accountability partner.
Right.
So I had you tell me about it. 3 days later, I had an accountability partner.
3 days later, less than 3 days later, Ella had an ad on Facebook, made a request on Facebook. And this is what I love about her. She had a request on Facebook and she was sorting herself an accountability partner. So you now have an accountability partner.
I now have an accountability. And I did it. I said, you know, people were like, you know, we'd like to be your account. First of all, 30 people responded to that. So it shows you how many people are interested in really engaging with someone and being more productive, however, you know, you want to put it. And, but they said, we can't do 5:30. And I said, I'm doing it exactly the way Noreen does it. Right. I'm not going to, if it ain't fixed, right. Let's not, you know, if it's not broken, let's not fix it. So every morning at 5:15, the alarm goes off.
Right.
My friend Chris calls me. I tell him the things I have that I want to do that day.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me the things that he's going to do. The next day, I wake up again, 5:15, and he goes down the list. Did you do this? Did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't? And we have this back and forth. And I've gotten such great feedback from him. It's helped me to rearrange the way I manage time because I get to hear what he's inspiring me, but he's also listening to me in a way that I can't hear myself.
Absolutely.
And he's
that's
like,
why people have a coach.
Yeah. It's like a personal.
An accountability partner is an inexpensive way of having yourself a coach. It's a cheap way to have yourself be accountable.
It's let me tell you, Noreen, it's one of the most amazing things I've ever done.
Thank you.
And I know that by the time, so I have the call from 5:15 to like 6-ish.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, aren't you exhausted? Number one, it's reset my body clock.
Mm-hmm.
By the time that call is done, I am so awake that it's time for the gym.
Right.
I'm just awake. Mm-hmm. I go to the gym. It is the best. And
right.
I've just been really good.
So with me, like I said, I've been doing it. This is actually 11 years. And Wendy, I met her in Miami and she said, do you want to be an accountability partner? And I was like, yeah. Why not? And I said, what time? And I'm thinking that she's going to say, like, you know, in the afternoon. She said 5:30 in the morning. And the little voice in my head said, what the fuck? But then the other little voice said, Noreen, just try it on. Just do it. You know, you can always walk away if it doesn't work.
Right.
And so I said, okay, I'll do it. And we've been doing it consistently. We haven't, I'm telling you, we haven't missed in the time that I've been doing it. Maybe a handful of times, like maybe two hands of missing times. And it's only because one, we've gone on vacation and we can't make a connection. Two, like my, maybe the alarm didn't go off, but my body clock goes off, or something, you know, maybe we're trying to reach each other, but we can't get through. Mm-hmm. Right. But that has opened up for me to have, I have an accountability partner in the gym.
Okay.
Right. So, Lydia, shout out to Lydia, who is my accountability partner in the gym. She lives 2 minutes from me and they have a gym in her building. So I go and work out in her building. But before that, I did have an accountability partner where I used to run the bridge.
Okay.
So I ran the bridge for a year with Lionel. Oh, my God. That was the hardest thing ever. And the first time I ever did it nonstop, I dry heaved like a bat out of hell.
All right.
But we've been doing the accountability stuff. And, you know, in the beginning of any accountability, it takes about a good 3 months, I would say, especially if you're getting up, going out somewhere, mm-hmm. to sort of like, you know, arrange your times together. Because in the beginning, when Lydia and I were doing it, maybe I would come down at 5 after, or maybe, you know, she'd come down at 10 after and I'm sitting waiting or whatever. But then we re-up, we recommitted. Mm-hmm. And so we do 3 months at a time and then we recommit and we do another 3 months at a time and we reconnect. And then, but we don't do the same workout. She's over there in her corner doing her Nike go crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm over here doing Pilates, right? So I do Pilates using YouTube and it really works. So it's really good. I did have, up until a few days ago, a meditation accountability partner. Mm-hmm. And that's no longer. But, you know, I'll find another person. I meditate anyway, mm-hmm. but I do like the partnership, mm-hmm. with a person. And that's really, really cool.
Well, let me tell you, my son told me, was my son? No, it was my accountability partner. He was saying the coach of the Seattle Seahawks, mm-hmm. apparently he, when he gets really excited during games, he steps out onto the field. Mm-hmm. And I guess you get a penalty in football when you do that. Right. He has someone there just to pull him back when he gets too close. And so when he told me that, I was like, even someone that's that successful, absolutely. In their field needs that, you know, needs that person to hold them to account. Yeah. The most successful people. So
a coach. I've always had a coach. I've had, you know, I've had relationship coach. I've had business coach, but I have a coach now, which is also my business coach as well as she supports me in just keeping myself focused on what I'm up to. And I absolutely love her, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm really fortunate to have her because she chose me. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm really blessed and I'm really fortunate. This is a woman that started a business from nothing and sold it for like $30 million years later. So I know she knows what she's talking about. And like, she can see the parts of me that I can't see for myself.
Right.
And what it provides for you as a coach, what I provide for my clients is nothing. I provide nothing for my clients because they have everything. And what I do is I help them to pull it through and pull out and so that they can actually see themselves. And what's important to that is that they get to see who they are or who they're not being, and then they get to put new actions in place and things start to show up where it hasn't shown up before. So with my clients, they start to earn more money or they change their jobs. My latest client, she came to me, wanted to, I hate my job. That's usually one of the things. Mm-hmm. And in a month and a half, she has a job now that she loves, quits. But she had to clean up the integrity in the old job. Mm-hmm. Now she has a new job, right? And so it's like she's creating the business. It's just really awesome. When I love it. That's the thing I love about my work is that I love it when my clients are winning, you know? And I'm like you. If I learn something new, I want to share it with people. But what I've also learned as a coach is not everybody wants to hear it.
Right, right.
You know, and it's like, you know, with my friends and stuff like that, I have to shut it down.
Right.
Shut it down.
Yeah, you have to, you sort of listen and you vibe with the person. Yeah. And you realize, yeah, definitely.
But I think and that everyone should have an accountability partner, and it doesn't matter how successful, how not successful, because it's the people that want to be successful, mm-hmm. that actually have people support them to do. And most people are afraid. They're like, oh, I don't want to share what I'm up to, or like, oh, I don't want people to know this about me. But, you know, it's really important to be able to be open and just share what's going on.
Totally. And I mean, one of the great things is, and I told Chris this when we started this practice, is I said, I want you to call me on my rackets, mm-hmm. because I'm very good.
Basically call her on the bullshit.
Right. Call me on my bullshit. When I'm like, yeah, I didn't do it this because, you know, the bus was slow and I could. It's like, no, I want you to be like, Ella, come on. You know, you could have taken the subway.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm very good at winding my way through. Not, you know,
many of us are. We're good at making the other person wrong.
Right.
We're good at having a reason why we don't want to do something else, whereas it's just be honest, I don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
And I think if you say you don't want to do it anymore, it opens up an opportunity for you to try it on, because you can see, why don't I want to do it? Well, I don't want to get up out of bed.
Right.
Well, are you, how do you see what you're committed to? Right. And I love it.
And a lot of times the reason that you don't, the procrastination comes from fear,
mm-hmm.
right? You're like, if I don't start it, then I won't fail.
Right.
So let me just not even start.
Well, what's the adage? fail fast and fail often.
Right.
Right. You get to see stuff. It is scary to fail, but you don't really fail. And it's failure to perform,
because
mm-hmm. you're not performing. Right. So if you're not performing, you're going to fail. So it's failure to perform. If there's something that you have to do and you're not going to do it, it's failure to perform. I feel really bad. Like, I've been sick for the last couple of days. So I haven't worked out since Monday, but I did work out today. I did an hour's worth of Pilates, which I am going to pay for later, because I really wore myself out and sweated a lot. But like I said to myself, you know, I am committed to doing this thing. So I just do as much as I can. And then, you know, but if I'm sick, I got to be responsible. But I do love Pilates so much. So I did it anyway. But
nice.
Yeah. So thank you for taking that on. Thank
yes.
you for hearing that, you know, because a lot of people have said, oh, I'd love to have an accountability partner. And then they want to fuss with it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to fuss with the time. Instead of 5:30, no, they want to fuss with the time. Let's do it at 1. Can we do it at 1? And can we do it at this? No. Do it as it's designed. I had to learn that, doing things as they're designed.
Right.
Because when you do it as designed, you get the benefits. When you do it the way you're going to do it, you don't get the benefits as much.
Well, it's funny because people were like, 5:30? And I'm like, Noreen does it, so why can't I? That's what
Who
I
is this
said.
Bloody Noreen?
You're famous.
So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So we're back, and we're back from On Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And Ella just said she loves yapping. I love yapping too. I can yap from now till next year. So anyway, I bought a book of, what is it called? Oh. I've had this book on my shelf for a long time, and it's called The Quotable Women. So it's got all kinds of women in here, women that we've heard of, women that we haven't heard of. And so Ella didn't bring her spectacles. So I'm just going to have her turn to a page, choose, and I'm going to read it.
Maybe the real game is me trying to read and seeing what comes out. Okay. Okay.
All right. Let's
okay,
see.
That one.
We are the minor in everything but have passions. And that's by Elizabeth Bowen. We are minor in everything but our passions. What does
oh,
that speak
God.
To?
Are we going to... What does this mean? Let me think.
What does that
mean? We are minor
in everything but our passions. What does that... We're small?
We're Yeah, I mean, that's, I guess,
that's the literal thing.
We are minor in everything but our passions.
Okay, here's a better one. In my sex fantasy, nobody ever loves me for my mind.
Okay. That's good.
That's good. You're so stupid. All right. Too much of a good thing is wonderful. That was Mae West.
Oh, that's very Mae West.
I love Mae West.
Yeah.
I love
Can you do a Mae West impression?
No, I can't. Yeah, okay. No, come up and see me sometime. That sounded corny. But she's always got... No, I love her. She's great. She's great.
Hey, boys.
Yeah, I know. It's always about... Bette Davis. I often think that a slightly exposed shoulder emerging from a long satin nightgown packed more sex than two naked bodies in bed.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's all about the look. It's all about the experience, right? And then I'm suggesting we call sex something else and we should include everything from kissing to sitting close together. That was sheer height. I don't know. Half these women I don't know, but it sounds good. Absence does not make the heart grow fonder, but it sure heats up the blood. Elizabeth Ashley. That sounds more like a Mae West one, right?
That does, yeah.
So, yeah, I've had this, like I said, I've had this book for a really long time. And every now and then I go through. But the one that I posted today on my website was about loving yourself, right? You cannot love, unless you love yourself, you cannot love anyone else. How do you feel about that?
Unless you love yourself. I don't know if I completely agree with that.
Go ahead. Tell me.
Always have to be adversarial. Yeah, I don't know. I think you can love someone else if you don't completely love yourself. I don't know.
But
I
what is it to not completely love yourself?
Yeah, I don't
what
even
know.
What
does one do when one doesn't love themselves?
Well, I think that loving is a verb. Ooh, I'm getting deep now.
Go, Ella, go. Loving is a verb. Love.
Yes. Love is not like it's not this like stationary emotion, right? So
it's not static.
Right. It's not static. So loving is active. So sometimes you are loving to yourself and sometimes you're not. Sometimes, you know, you're busy beating yourself up and telling yourself what, you know, you're an asshole.
Or like I was doing the other day, I was like in a pity party with myself.
Right. I love those. Sometimes I just like it.
No, but you know what? It's look, here's the thing, right? You know, this logic, right? I know I'm in a pity party, right? And I know that it's going to pass. And I want to sit in the pity party sometimes. And I, like we were talking earlier, and I said, I want to squeeze out. Like I had one tear, just one little tiny tear fall out of my eye. And I wanted to gush it because I really felt like I wanted to just cry and just have a. But I know it's like, what are you crying for?
Right.
Like, what are you crying for? You know, this is just a moment. You know, it's going to pass. You know, it doesn't mean anything. But it's just sometimes. I know the logic, but sometimes I just want to be in that emotion.
You just want a catharsis.
Yeah, but it's so difficult.
Right.
Because it's of the logic, knowing that it's going to pass.
Yeah, I haven't had a good cry in a long time.
It's good to have a good cry.
Yeah. Huh. I wonder, okay, so
here's a thing that I just thought of. Like, so we're both black women. Yes, we are.
Hi. Hello. Power to the people. So stupid.
Right? You know the conversation, strong black woman.
Yes.
I don't want to be a strong black woman.
Right.
I just want to be a woman that is strong. I just want to be a woman. I don't want to be a strong black woman that I have to put my feelings and my thoughts behind me because I got to be this strong person. I am a black woman. I'm strong, but I have my moments where I am weak. And I need support and I need help and I want to cry. Right?
Right.
What do you say about that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what that means. A strong and black woman, they are.
Yeah, but it's synonymous in this society.
Right.
It's like you're a black woman, you're strong. You're not supposed to have any kinds of feelings. You're not supposed to have any emotions. You're supposed to be strong all the time. And we're also supposed to be fighting back and all this
kind
of stuff.
I think that does a disservice to black women.
It's a disservice.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. I totally
it's like, do. You know, we are just as complex as any other human
and
being.
I think that strong black woman label is killing us.
Yeah, definitely. Because it doesn't allow us to kind of address our weaknesses and yeah, see ourselves as multifaceted.
We are multifaceted. Right. And there is a high, I don't know exactly how many, but there is a high rate of women, black women have committed suicide.
Really? You know,
yeah, there is. And I've had, last year alone, I had two people that I knew commit suicide.
Oh, gosh.
And it's like, you would never have known.
Right.
Yeah. I never thought for a million years that these women, and there was another one a couple years before that, that committed suicide. And for the life of me, I would never have known
that she was in that place.
She was in that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was that really threw me for a loop when she committed suicide. I just like literally just cried. That made me cry. That made me. I had to go for the longest walk that I could possibly go for. And I just allowed myself to just cry because I was just like, this woman, you know, she had everything to live for. What it seemed like she had in my world, looking over into her world, that she had everything to live for. Good business, nice boyfriend, all kinds of stuff. But like I said, you don't know what's going on with people.
You don't know.
You don't know what's going on with
there's,
people.
What's there? I think this is from the Titanic, actually. But the lead in the Titanic, the older woman said, a woman's heart is as deep as an ocean, you know? And I always thought that was such a beautiful quote because, I mean, it's true. There's so much going on. Right. There's so much going on under the surface that, you know, for humans, I guess, that you just don't know.
You don't know.
Right.
You don't know. But that was that was really painful for me to have experienced her, my friend, killing herself like that. It was just like really, really painful. But like I said, years ago, I used to make that wrong. Today, I don't make it wrong. If people want to, it's our life. We get to choose how we want to do it. If you want to take your life, you know, that should be. I mean, I know most of it is like a mental illness. In some cases, there's something that's not working. Not most of it. Something that's not working and they can't see a way out. And they, you know, have to go to that precipice. And they make it happen. But
I can tell you that when I'm on my deathbed, you can be happy because I'll be like, peace, it's been nice. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what I say.
I always say that to my best friend. I'll be like, I'm exhausted. No, I'm ready to go.
I'm in that space. I usually go like this. I'm on my deathbed. I'll be like, people are going to be around me. They go, yeah, man, she killed it. She is so crispy and so fucking old and so worn out. That she lived it. You know what I mean?
Shriveled, like, old prune.
Yeah, I'm shriveled up and but I lived it. I wore every part of my body out because I lived my life fully, and that's what I'm committed to.
Well, I always say that I'll like, because I'm like, oh gosh, you know, growing to be so, I don't want to be too old. But I'll probably, because of that, I'll like live to be like 192.
Well, they have, so. Don't laugh, because they have people that are living to 114.
Yeah.
And people are living a lot longer than we were in the past. And I was watching, on Netflix, there is like something old, I can't remember. But some of these people have lived, there's a black woman that she lived to 114 and she's just like... And some of these people were like too long. It's like 100 and something. One woman said, well, she got to 90 something. She said that was good. Then when she got to 110, she's 114, white lady in England. She's just like, it's enough already. But this woman, I will kid you not, she takes herself out to lunch every day. She's walking around. If you looked at her, you would not believe that she was that old. Right. And then there's this other guy, this man, he still has a job. He was 100, I think 110. He still has a job. He works as a mechanic or cleaning cars or something. And feisty.
But at that point, it's like when you're 110.
You look like 80.
That's a little anxiety inducing because you're like, okay, I'm going to die like any day. It's like, it's too much.
Yeah, but I think they're expecting it at some point. They're going to pop off.
I'm like, when's it going to happen? Is it happening now? Or is it happening now?
But yeah, but you know, everything literally gets worn out. Like your ears go, your teeth go. But these people look so good.
No, 114. And then you wake up the next morning, you're like, I'm still alive. I'm here still.
You know, this is my valley. I just don't want those things that you have on your face. You know, those marks.
Liver spots?
Yeah, I don't want that.
That's your worry, liver spots. Not arthritis, not like liver spots.
You can hide arthritis. And people expect you to have that. With the freaking liver spots? I don't like
those. You're hilarious.
So is this our final? We have two more minutes. So okay. Ella, we have two more. Go ahead.
Can I plug myself?
Plug.
So... I encourage everybody to go to our new blog. It's thecurveny.com. Check it out. We have a whole bunch of, you know, different sort of articles there about real estate, lifestyle, what's going on in New York, and most importantly, our listings. Mm-hmm. We have a number of new listings coming to market.
Is this your department now?
No, it's still the team with Christine. It's thecurveny.com. Email us if you have questions about buying or selling real estate in New York at curve@compass.com.
All righty. And all I want you to do is go into Noreen Sumter. And this is the first time I'm actually doing this. Noreen Sumter on my Instagram page. Just friend me. Ask me questions. I love questions. And see if you, have a question and find out whether you'd be a fit for coming on the show and pitching yourself. So this is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. I'll see you next week.
I don't want it to end.
I know. We want to gabba, 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 but we got to gabba, gabba off. Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio, Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.